Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're going to get to the show in a minute here. This is Justin Boone from The Score comes on and actually does a 30-minute trade session with me. I just need to lay out a couple of things just so you're fully informed about the nature of this conversation. We made this... We recorded this and did our conversation on Monday, which would have been prior to the news about Kyler Murray deleting all of his stuff from referencing the Cardinals and all of that, right? So he went on, if you're not familiar, he went on and deleted basically all the references to the Cardinals and all of that. We, at the time of this recording, did not know that. It happened, I think, hours after we recorded. So if it doesn't make mention of that, that is why. So I just wanted to sort of let you know on that. And again, then you'll listen to the show. I don't know how seriously I ultimately take that. It seems childish, pouty to me, and I don't think it's any sort of existential thing, but I do think it goes towards some of the stuff we do discuss about him. It rings true. It rings more true. The fact that he goes out and deletes all his stuff from Instagram and the Cardinals and all this stuff. I don't think it necessarily. I don't think you take 40 cents in the dollar because you don't think he's gonna play football again, right? And he's gonna go play baseball, but. This rings very true to, I think, some of the stuff we talked about. So I did want to sort of let you know with that and the reason why the podcast is the way it is. So I hope you enjoy the podcast. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon. Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. This is a Thursday trade edition, 30 minutes of Dynasty Trades. I have Justin Boone, who is the lead fantasy analyst with The Score. I appeared on his podcast last week, and he's consistently up at the top of the Fantasy Pros expert rankings. So excited to have him here. We're going to talk a little bit of dynasty trading. And I went through and I looked at your, I was looking at your rankings, and we did the podcast. So I went back and I looked at some of your rankings, and I find Kyler Murray at 3 interesting. And so I wanted to talk with you a little bit about him. So I have some Kyler Murray trades, and I revolve a couple of different ways. So I have Kyler Murray, and there's a couple of Dak centric ones. I didn't intend this, but Kyler Murray and Amari Cooper for Dak and Rashad Bateman.
Kyler Murray and Cooper for Dak and Rashad Bateman. Well, right off the top, I'll say thanks for having me. I know this is, you want to get the shot clock going here. We want to make sure we get it all in within a half an hour, but it's fun to come and be on your show after.
We don't mess around.
You've been a guest on mine a couple times, so I'm excited to actually be on with you now. We talked on, when you were on my show last week, we talked about players that I thought were, that we thought were buys. And for me, one of those was Bateman. I think often people look at these, rookie receivers, they come in, if they don't do much in the first year, people want to just get out immediately and they're concerned. I think there was a lot of other things that went into Bateman this year. When you're talking about the injury right off the bat, when you're talking about the quarterback situation and Lamar not being there in the second half of the year when Bateman really would have had his chance to come on. So I'm pretty excited about him. I will say, though, I'm looking at the other piece. I know you want to talk about Murray here, but I'm looking at the other pieces and I'm saying Amari Cooper is somebody that I think is so underrated still. People just seem to be turning on him. They're negative about him. He still could put up good stats. Yes, it might not be super consistent. He's going to have those big splash games, and then he's going to have some down weeks where he has one catch for 10 yards or something like that. But I'm willing to take that with Cooper. And I think that the upside for Murray is still really exciting for me. Like, we've seen him post numbers where he can, for long stretches, he can be up there with the Mahomeses and the Josh Allens. And I know the last two seasons, it hasn't ended well, and he's kind of veered off towards the second half of the year. And I know people question him as a leader of the team and all that sort of stuff as well. But I still think we're looking at a quarterback that's very young, that has that rushing upside and, has some good weapons around him. We'll see what they do in free agency, who they bring back. They got some free agents in the backfield and at receiver there. But when I'm looking at Dak, and this is probably what it comes down to in this trade for me, and you're probably looking at me going, you're talking way too long about the first trade because we want to.
No. This is what we do.
I want to get your opinion on this as well. But when we're looking at Dak, I just have some concerns. And you look at what the situation was with the Cowboys a couple years ago and or the last two seasons before this year, where that defense wasn't very good and they had to throw the ball a lot. And it kind of came into the perfect storm in 2020, where he had this great receiving core. You had the young CeeDee Lamb and you had Cooper and you had Gallup and you were ready to go. And they had to throw so much. And those first 5 weeks before he got hurt, the numbers were just astronomical. And he was on pace for career highs and passing attempts, really in every category. And then he gets hurt. And then he comes back this year. And now the situation's not the same. That defense is much better. They've added some playmakers there. They don't have to throw the ball nearly as much now. And he's not running the ball as much. This season, you could look at it and we could try to figure out the context there. How much did injuries kind of play a factor? But his rushing stats way down this year versus what we saw the first 3-4 years of his career, where he was running for 250, 300 yards a season. First 3 years, he scored 6 rushing touchdowns every year. And the 2 years after that, I think he had 3 rushing touchdowns both seasons. This year, 147 rushing yards, I believe, something like that, and only 1 rushing touchdown. So now that's a little bit lower. I just worry that with the makeup of that team now, with the defense being better, that we're not going to see as many of those ceiling games from Dak that we got kind of teased a bit with that perfect storm in 2020. And then it never really came into fruition because of the injury. So I would take the Murray Cooper side of this one, even though I spent the time breaking down all those guys. As much as I like Bateman, I'm going to go with the upside, where I think Murray still can be that top 3 quarterback, that he can put it all together at some point and give us a full season. And that Cooper isn't washed yet. Cooper still has some good years in him here. And it's more of a public perception thing that I think people are lower on, but I'm curious what you think of that one as well.
Yeah, no, and I forgot to tell you this. So I send you the behind the scenes of this is I send you a list of a large amount of trades that we'll never get to, just so that way I have something to refer to and you can read them if you can't understand what I'm saying. So no, we end up not, you know, I send you a list of like 25 or 30 trades that we end up getting through about 6 of them. So it's always good.
I didn't know if I was supposed to go rapid fire.
No. If it's rapid fire,
to be long-winded.
I won't leave you hanging. So I found the Dak rushing thing interesting. They were 7th in designed, in dropbacks per game. So I think that the passing volume is something that I think we kind of know that they want to be pass heavy, which I think is good. Dak Prescott, 3 yards rushing on designed rushes this year. Do you want to guess where that ranks at the position?
No, I do not.
33rd. which is just incredible when you think about where, you know, what his profile was coming in. I think it's a really high floor really high floor situation for him. And I think that the ways that he misses are probably less than the way that Murray misses, which I think would be the debate. I'm spooked about Murray for a couple of reasons. You get the same, and I don't try and read the NFL news because I don't think I can't parse it. And it's just something I think, you know, you hear, it's tough to sort of figure out what's just being regurgitated and what there's actually truth to. But the Murray thing, the baseball thing consistently comes up about people, and not necessarily citing anything, but it just consistently comes up across a variety of things that it just makes me sort of head tilt, you know, how much conversation is actually going on about that. He's pre-contract extension, which gives me some pause as well. But the other thing that gives me pause is there was in the playoff game that they played this year, there's a quote from whoever was covering the game, whatever the announcer was. And they'd interviewed Steve Keim. And Steve Keim said, hey, listen, this is the most that Kyler Murray is prepared for a game in his career. And I said, that is a horrendous sign, because you know who doesn't, you know, like, there's no one's kept track of how much time Brady has prepared for games or any of these other, or Dak Prescott or any of these other guys. Like, that's not right. If you are honing your craft, no one's counting hours, right? Because it's consistent. And you're sort of always prepared. No one sort of makes that comment if you're sort of fully bought in. That has just given me enough pause. And we haven't seen him do it for a full season yet. I know injuries, you know, injury plagued and all that stuff is fraught with problems, but there's just enough pause around him that I can't necessarily put him in my super flex, my super max tier yet. And it's just, I'm hesitant to do it. And those are the reasons why. So I vote Dak on this just because I have him at a higher tier than Murray, just because there's more uncertainty with him, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. A couple of things we got to that. I mean, you know, Murray's still very young, and when we're looking at some of these things, like, and I don't like hearing that either, the preparation issues. Mm-hmm. And you want to see guys come in, you know, like I always think back to when Michael Thomas came in, and yeah, some strange things have happened with him the last couple of years. But when he first came in, what did we hear about Michael Thomas when he had that big breakout, you know, rookie season? Everything we heard was he was attached to Drew Brees' hip. He was just hardworking, studying constantly. And then you're not surprised when the guy comes out and has this great rookie season, right? He's talented and he's putting in all that work. So yeah, when you hear that about any player, it's concerning. In the last few years, I've actually taken that kind of more into consideration, not just in Dynasty and all of fantasy, thinking, you know, I want to try to make sure that I have those guys where you hear those positive reports and the hardworking stuff. The other thing, and to add to what you said, and I'm sure you're already aware of this, you know, the whole thing that happened like during the Manning cast when Russell Wilson was on,
and no.
they were talking to Russell Wilson, and the Cardinals were down at that point. I forget how much they're down. I think a couple touchdowns. And they asked Russ, you know, what would you do at this point? And he said, you know, I'd be going up and down the sidelines and tapping guys on the shoulder and trying to get everybody, you know, fired up. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically that's what he was saying.
Right.
And then the camera of the broadcast actually cut to Kyler Murray. And he was just like sitting on the bench dejected. And it was like, it was funny, right? Like, that's not something we could overrate too much, but it was just kind of to add to that whole thing. Like, that's what I said before. I know there's questions about his leadership. And when you're saying the baseball stuff, are you actually saying you think there's a chance that he would leave the NFL and go play baseball? Is that what you're saying?
I don't. I mean, it seems, I mean, he's going to be able to sign a 9-digit contract and months, right? I mean, you can't do that. You just can't. But there's just enough of that, and you sort of, right, you just put it all together, and it's like, and again, I hate playing this game of like how much uncertain, you know, of trying to parse things, because we can't measure it, and there's other guys that have stuff going on in their lives that we don't know about, and so we're trying to we might even being unfair to Kyler Murray to some extent, but it's just one of those things where you hear enough stuff that sort of insinuates the exact same thing. And it sort of harkens back to, I don't know if you remember this, when Goff, during Goff's, like the end of Goff's tenure and with the Rams, Aikman went on, and Aikman had like a week 15, 16 game or something with them, in which it might even been a playoff game, in which he was basically all but said McVay is like sick and tired of Goff. He didn't say that, but he basically said, he as close to ripping Jared Goff as he could, like as a verbatim quote that McVay gave him, is like what happened. And it was like, whoa. And I remember watching that, and I was like, wow, like that's, you know, and that you don't realize quite how, at least I didn't at the time, you don't realize how much preparation goes into that, and how, you know, about how much coaches will actually tell announcers that they just won't use. And, you know, that sort of became a storyline after that. After the fact that we've sort of heard more, I've heard more about that process since. There's just enough of that that sort of goes on with Kyler Murray that you just wonder sort of, it's obviously getting fed from some places, sort of my thought. It doesn't seem like it's coming from enough different variety of places that would sort of have different sources of information, that it doesn't seem like it's just arbitrary. That's just my thought. Again, it could be a total hunch. I don't think he's going to, but I think it sort of signifies something else, which gives me some concern.
Yeah. And there's always the possibility with a young player that, you know, he continues to mature. I mean, we've seen this with players at every position, and then, you know, he starts to put more time in, and as much as we don't want to hear those things now, it could very easily in a year or two kind of be a moot point. Right. So, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, what the Cardinals are going to do this offseason with a bunch of guys as free agents in that offense. And, you know, we kind of saw the smart move when they were able to get Hopkins pretty cheap and bring him into that offense. We'll see what else they can do to help Kyler out, and who else they can bring in, or if somebody like Rondale Moore can kind of take a step. And we'll see what they do at running back. There's, you know, a lot of options there, whether they go to the draft or somebody in free agency, or I don't think they're going to end up going with Eno Benjamin, who I think right now is maybe the only guy they have under contract in the backfield, but Yeah, that's, you know, Benjamin, definitely somebody to stash on your bench if you can, or to make a cheap trade for right now, just in case he gets that, you know, number one or number two job, maybe more likely. But
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what they do as far as putting pieces around Kyler and what that could do for his career in the next year or two.
For sure. Let's pivot off of Kyler for a second here. Dak, and we sort of talked about him with some of his, you know, with some concerns there. Dak for Trey Lance in a 2022 third.
See, I'm like the worst person to ask for this because I'm absolutely in love with Trey Lance.
And okay.
Yeah. I might be a little biased on this one. I will say that Dak is the safer option out of those two for sure. No doubt. For me, I'm probably still taking Lance because I just have that much confidence in that offense and what I think he can develop into. And even what we saw this year, I know that fantasy manager is really disappointed that he wasn't able to take the job this season. And, you know, people had arguments about it, you know, all year long on Twitter about whether it should be Jimmy G or Trey Lance. But we knew coming out that Lance was a player that he needed a little bit of time. I think he was a guy that wasn't coming in really polished. Mm-hmm. And now he got that time, and not to, you know, make people are foolish to often, you know, make a quick comparison and go, well, Patrick Mahomes took a year and then he came in and, you know, he got a little bit of playing time as a rookie and the next year. And then look what happens. You know, I'm not so foolish to say that I think that that's what's going to happen, but there is a lot of upside here with the rushing ability and with the weapons around him and with Kyle Shanahan and everything. So I would personally take Lance, although I would probably advise people, if you want to play it safe, Dak is still the safer play.
It feels like the possibility of a catastrophic miss is totally on the Lance side. And that's like, I think it might matter to some degree if you're playing Superflex versus one quarterback. Like if you want to take, I couldn't do this in Superflex, take the Lance side, just because like the possibility of missing is just so big versus what we know with Prescott. But like if you want to say who's got a higher ceiling in a one quarterback league, if you're trying to totally juice that spot, I do think it's interesting. I'd love to see Shanahan sort of employ this. Like we saw it for a period of time with RG3, but we haven't seen he could do some really, I think, interesting and innovative stuff. Maybe stuff we haven't really seen with some of the weapons that they have there with a running quarterback. It could be interesting. Dak. And so this is interesting because there's a lot of Dak like for non-quarterback stuff and super flex. So just sort of leave that there. We're not going to talk a ton about that, but you can actually get with a first and another, like a J.K. Dobbins or a first and Devonta Smith, get Dak, which just seems incredible to me. But Dak and Terry McLaurin for Justin Herbert, is that, where does that put you in terms of, you know, getting into another level of comfort there between Dak and Herbert?
Yeah, I'm going to take the 5-year difference at quarterback there, mm-hmm. And just being that excited about Herbert. And also, this is it's a bit of a knock on Terry McLaurin, where we haven't really seen it from him. And I know he's one of those guys like, you know, Allen Robinson, where he hasn't had great quarterback play. And, you know, perhaps that could help take him to the next level if they figure out something there. I don't know what the answer is going to be in Washington, whether, you know, I don't know that Garoppolo is really the guy that's going to get me that excited about Terry McLaurin. But I still wonder now whether, you know, is Terry McLaurin more suited to be a really, you know, high-end number two real life fantasy receiver as opposed to being that number one? You know, is it more just a volume thing? I think he's a talented player, but I'm not so sure. You know, I had an opportunity. I was in a 14 team startup last year where I had an opportunity and McLaurin was kind of right in my targets and I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger on him. And I ended up going a different direction just because the more I looked at him, the more I just wasn't totally convinced that he had that kind of ceiling that maybe some of the other guys in that range had. So I think this might be more of a shot at McLaurin as well, but I would go with Herbert there. Just, I mean, how could you not love what we're seeing from him so far? And like I said, with that big age difference between him and Dak, I'm definitely going to go with him there and feel pretty good about it and figure that, you know, McLaurin, because I don't know that he has that top five, top 10 kind of upside, unless they do something insane and they end up getting an Aaron Rodgers or something like that. Then obviously that changes things. But unless they get a massive upgrade at quarterback, I don't see that upside for him. So I feel like I'd be able to get that receiver production somewhere else where, as we know, you know, getting a top five quarterback, which I think Herbert for me is pretty safely in that range. Getting him would just be so valuable.
Yeah, and this is the McLaurin, more and more I play Dynasty. If the difference between Dak and Herbert is like a tear break for you, a wide receiver like McLaurin should never get in the way of making that trade, because there's, you can replicate that in a million ways. A million's too harsh on McLaurin, but there's a dozen guys like him. There's two dozen guys like him in some way, shape, or form that you can piece together, right? You can go Brandon Cooks. You can hit Mike Evans. Like, you can get that range of production, and it's not a, losing McLaurin is never going to kill you in a deal. Like, that's not going to be, you should never let him get in the way, that type of player get in the way of making what you think is a tier jump, especially at an elite position like quarterback.
Yeah. So, when you think about, you know, trading a second round or a third round rookie pick, and you're touching on it there, what kind of veteran you could get for those picks, right? If you're a real contender that year, like I said, I just think that there's a lot of ways that you can get that kind of McLaurin production. And totally. All it takes for me is to trade a second or a third rookie pick away in order to get one of those veterans. Like, you probably can get a Brandon Cooks for a second, and that's just an outstanding trade, and a trade I think most contending teams should be trying to make right now.
Totally. All right. Mike Evans is the guy we talked about on your pod. Talk about it here. He's where Mike Evans show. Christian McCaffrey and Mike Evans for Javonte Williams and Rondale Moore. A lot of moving pieces in here. What are your thoughts?
I love Javonte, which I think most people would probably say that. I'm still going CMC and Evans. Like, Evans is still going to be able to have a couple good years. I thought you made some good points on my show about, you know, even with Brady gone, we don't know what's going to happen at quarterback there, but we don't know if Godwin's going to come back, and you have AB already out of the picture. And I think we could probably assume at this point that Gronk won't be back with them. It's not a guarantee, but I think with Brady gone, the odds are likely that Gronk won't be back either. So volume wise, Evans could just get a ton of volume, even if there isn't as many scoring opportunities. Maybe, you know, the 14 touchdown season might not be on the table next year, but volume wise, I think you can make up for it there. So I think he's one of those kind of discount veterans that you could probably get a little cheaper than what his actual production would be worth. And then CMC, yes, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for Javonte, but we know what Christian McCaffrey could do. I have a ton of people on Twitter that when they've looked at where I've ranked Christian McCaffrey in my dynasty trade value chart or in my redraft rankings for 2022, and they're giving me a hard time and saying, this guy's, he's done all these injuries the last couple of years. He's never going to get back there. I don't think that's a guarantee. I think there's a chance that Christian McCaffrey can come back next season and he's putting up 30 fantasy points a game, and he's the, you know, the ultimate difference maker for teams. So I'm definitely going to err on the side of there. I will say, you know, most of my teams right now, I probably come at this from the perspective of most of my teams are in some sort of contending window. I don't ever really have a lot of, I don't know if I've ever done a full rebuild where I've tore it completely down.
You should. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. Like, I don't think I've ever done that. So I'm always kind of looking at it from the perspective of like, oh, I can get CMC and Evans, and wow, like, where is that going to take me when come playoff time? So I'm definitely looking at them. And then just to mention Rondale Moore, we talked about him a bit earlier, a lot of potential there with, especially with AJ Green and Christian Kirk being free agents. You know, we saw some flashes from him this year. I don't think when you look at him, I don't feel 100% confident that they are going to automatically give him a ton of volume, but the possibility is still there for him. But he is sort of an afterthought in that deal for me when you're looking at the other side and what I think are pretty guaranteed pieces in CMC and Evans.
Yeah. He again feels like there's, you know, you could do that in 6 to 10 other ways, make that similar, but and just, you know, it's very, you know, make that developmental wide receiver. Don't let that get in the way of making an upgrade at the, just the difference between, the sky might be the limit for Javonte Williams, but Jupiter's the limit for Christian McCaffrey. Josh Allen, you have him at quarterback one, which I think is awesome. I will be totally biased in this. I will never be able to get there because I can't put myself in that situation, just because I feel like a homer, and I know by doing that, I'm going to let myself down. So I'll just leave Mahomes there. I think Josh Allen probably has a, like, if I could do it neutral, you know, unbiased and neutrally, and I would put him at quarterback too. I could probably, you know, he's the back-to-back quarterback one. Like, he deserves probably to have that spot if we're just sort of looking at it. But you put him there. So you're you've recovered. You're more mentally fit Bills fan than I am. Trevor Lawrence and a 2023 first for Josh Allen.
We were joking before the show. I don't know that I would, I thought this is what you're going to say at the beginning. When you said that you just can't get there to put him number one, I thought you were going to say you just can't get there to actually trade him away on any team. Cause that's almost how I feel. Like I have him a lot of places. I am the furthest thing from a Bills homer when it comes to fantasy. I never wanted to take Bills players. I mean, you know, growing up near Buffalo, a lot of Bills fans in my fantasy leagues back in the day still are. And a lot of people overpaying for Bills players. So I learned very early on, don't do that. Let everybody else pay up for those Bills players. And I will say, I think one of the first times, and I'm going off on a tangent here, but one of the first times that I took a Bills player, I finally caved and I said, the value's there. And I took Fred Jackson in a fantasy league. This is a long time ago now. I'm dating myself a little bit, but, and Fred Jackson came out and I think he broke his leg in the first half or maybe the first quarter of the first game that season. And I was like, I learned my lesson. Never, don't do it. Never do it. And then a few years back, I think Josh Allen was going into his second season and there was a ton of reports about, you know, some people can look at that offseason fluff stuff and think, you know, maybe it means nothing. I think you got to dig a little deeper and make your own decisions case by case. Some of that stuff is fluff. And sometimes I think there's stuff to be taken away from those. And that offseason, there was a lot of talk about, and going back to what you said about Kyler Murray, all the time that Josh Allen was putting in, all the hard work Josh Allen was putting in, all the improvements he was making throughout the offseason. And it sounded legit to me. And I allowed that, you know, Bill's bias maybe sneak in just a little bit, but I really wanted to get him on teams. And I went out and made a bunch of trades and I think probably overpaid some places. But I got him on a lot of teams back then. And obviously it worked out. Looking at him now, just with that combination of, you know, the rushing ability, the volume of passing and, you know, how accurate he's developed. He's really improved his passing along the way here. And it's a great culture in Buffalo. My one concern with him is, does he break down at some point? You know, he takes a lot of big hits. So if you're talking about longevity, that's one area where, you know, does he have that kind of Cam Newton career where at some point, you know, it really starts to take its toll on him. I hope he gets a little smarter with some of those decisions when he's running. He takes on way too many guys. He's got that big body, but that would be my one concern for him. When I'm looking at this trade, I know that the upside is there for Lawrence. I know how valuable those picks are in that, you know, next year's and the 2023 draft for rookies. I'm still going with Allen here. I'm going to take what I think is the sure thing and not have to gamble. We talked on my show a little bit about, you know, you like looking at your teams. I like looking and just knowing which spots am I 100% confident in, when I could just look and go, my QB1 is settled. I do not have to worry about it. I can focus all my attention on trying to figure out my second running back or, you know, my third receiver, whatever that might be. And this is one of those where I just want to take the guarantee at quarterback. I want to take Allen. I know, you know, we've seen the last few years here, the kind of value he can give you on a week to week basis. I don't want to be sitting there, fingers crossed, hoping that Trevor Lawrence develops into the player that, you know, we think he could be. But you talked about it with Trey Lance. I think the floor is there. There is a big time basement for Trevor Lawrence where he still could be a bust, you know, based on, we blame a lot of it on Urban Meyer, but he could still be a bust. And then you'd have to hope that you can kind of recoup the value with that first round pick in 2023, which maybe you can, but for me, I'm going Allen there. What about you?
You couldn't, like, this is the cheapest that you could get a top two quarterback. Like, for me, this is like, I would run over my 1 year old to get to my computer to accept this deal. Like, it is that, it's, I would give another first to do this deal. Like, it's that big of a gap, I think, between, like, if you haven't, like, the gap between Allen and Lawrence, like, I don't know, Lawrence, I mean, this is a, I joke about golfing and, like, Trevor Lawrence is like hitting, you know, it's like trying to hit, you know, I can't hit a driver. I can't keep a driver on the fairway. Like, I'm, you know, Josh Allen is taking my 3 wood out that I can hit the fairway with 90% of the time and drive it just about as far as my driver. Could the other side potentially beat Allen? It could. The odds that that happens are super, super low. And the results are potentially devastating to your team for a while. And I mean, the difference between Allen and Lawrence this year is 2 wins, 2 wins. The first does not make that up. And Lawrence has to get better really quick to make that happen. So it's just a huge gap, I think, to really get, you know, to really try and make up. All right. We got about 2 minutes left. So we've zoomed through this. You're really high on T. Higgins. T. Higgins and a 2022 first or CeeDee Lamb?
Oh, it's the Higgins side, like you want to talk about running people over to get to the computer, I'm doing that for sure. Now I have Higgins as my wide receiver 12. I got to do my update. My updated trade value chart will come out this week, so I'm working on that now. But in my last update in January, Higgins was a top 12 receiver. I imagine that he's still going to be there. You know, we talked on my show a little bit about how people want to, you know, Chase will overshadow him. Chase is going to get more headlines, all that sort of stuff. And people aren't really talking about what an amazing year Higgins had. And I get it. When you look at the final numbers, he missed some time with an injury. He had some kind of rusty games when he came back from the injury. And then in the second half of the season, he's just been outstanding. Like the guy, you can look at him as a, you know, 1A, 1B situation, but these guys are both going to be really good for a long time. We've seen this happen on other teams, you know, most recently, maybe Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, where you can have two wide receiver ones in the same offense, especially when that passing attack is showing us just, you know, how great they can be, and Burrow clearly developing into, you know, a high end quarterback as well. So while Lamb might have the name value, people are way more excited about him. I still think he's a great player. It is very close. I think you make an argument that, you know, Higgins and Lamb is almost a wash, and now you're getting that first rounder on top of it. It's that close for me.
It's a free. So, yeah. It's almost a free pick. Yeah.
I feel like that. Right. Okay, so, and it's I would take that deal if it was a second round pick, I think. Yeah. So yeah, for me, it's Higgins all the way on that side.
I'm with you. All right. We got 30 seconds, two rapid fire ones, Travis Etienne or Hollywood Brown.
It's Etienne for me. I have some concerns about Brown, just in terms of, I talked about how much I like Bateman. When you have Andrews there, when you have Bateman in the second half of the season, Hollywood didn't really put up the same numbers. And I know that includes games where Lamar Jackson wasn't there, so that factors in. But I think there's a lot of mouths to feed, and we haven't seen that Ravens passing attack really take it to the next level and be, you know, volume wise on par with some of those other passing offenses. So I worry that he's going to be a little more inconsistent. And I know it's risky still with Etienne, but I think there's a chance when you look at the passing, you know, ability that he has, he could step in. You have the Achilles injury with James Robinson. I know I'm going too long. You said rapid fire, but I always have to give context. But when you look at that offense and James Robinson, the Achilles injury, Akers came back. Great. Is that a one-off, or is that what we should expect from every running back now? I don't know. I think Etienne's going to get a chance to have a lot of volume next year. I think they played it safe with him with the injury with the Liz Frank this year. He'll come back healthy next year, and I think there's still a lot of upside there.
Well, that'll do it. Justin Boone, thank you for joining the Analytics Dynasty 30 minutes of trades. And until next time, keep embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.